Morris, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Morris, are moors and our society really generally struggling to keep up with the rapid change in technology?
I think they absolutely are. Moors are difficult at the best of times because they're often a response to something that's happened. In our history, that meant that there was often a period of time where something happened and we could wait and we could look at our lawmaking and then bring laws in. And as you and I have spoken about over the past few years, the stuff in technology just happens at such a rate that we're often unaware of these things until they become an issue. So how as a society then do we figure out what our laws should be and what is it we need to be careful about?
A rapidly changing time indeed. Okay, let's take a look at some of the things you've been exploring. First of all, what about the internet?
Well, we talked about the Internet of Things, which is that time not too far away where all of our objects and our homes are connected to the internet. We're already starting to see that. Lots and lots of people have secured home, as we should have. We're beginning to have appliances that we can dial into and they can turn on and off. So the question becomes, if we have this, and it's quite possible that in the next 3 to 5 years, we will be able to dial into our homes, look around and turn on and off taps, open up doors and do all kinds of things. Should police or lawmakers have the ability, if there's a situation at hand, in other words, if they're told that something's untoward, someone's broken in, or there's a fight or an issue, should they have the right to be able to look into our homes to see what the issue is and then to escalate it from there?
And they will have the ability to do that?
Well, we can give them the ability. They won't. I mean, they won't unless we give it to them. But certainly the technology that lets us look into our home is here and now. Lots of us can pull out our phone or our iPad and look at what's happening in our, you know, in our kitchens or wherever else, and lots of us are doing it.
Yep.
So it's not a step too far to say we could give that power to other people.
Mm, okay. The Internet of Things. What about big data? What's some of the things you've noticed there?
Big data is, of course, where we're able to mine the internet to find all sorts of information. You and I are putting information there at great rates. It makes sense that if we start to put that together, and there's a piece from here and a piece from over there and a piece from something that doesn't even seem related together, that we could make something sensible out of it. And we've seen it in Minority Report, the film, and we've seen it in some of our science fiction books, but we could do that, and we're on the cusp of being able to, for our police to be able to mine what's happening online and almost to predict where there might be troubles or issues that they might need to go to, so in advance of them happening. It's been used in the last couple of years by regimes, for instance, that are monitoring social media like Twitter or Facebook to be able to find people's content, to find what they're talking about and where they are, and to be able to predict then that there are mobs of people in a particular geographical space that are having an issue around this particular thing, and should they then put resource to it. So again, we're starting to see the elements of these things being quite ordinary, and we've got to make decisions as citizens whether we want to put this power in the hands of our police and lawmakers.
A powerful technology indeed. What about robots? What's some of the questions there about their usage?
Robots and drones are both being used by police now, and also by all sorts of people that are doing search and rescue. Robots, of course, are one or two item machines, and drones are the things that fly in the sky. We're starting to see them in, for instance, where there's a building collapse or where something untoward has happened, and it wouldn't be feasible to send a human being in to look to see if anyone's alive or to look to see if there's a bomb in there or something else. And we put robots and drones into those spaces and have for years, and the SES and other people are using them really efficiently. Moving forward, do we want more of that in our society? There's some conversation already about being able to have not policemen and women as robots, but perhaps having something like it that could do some of the basic search and rescue. Maybe it could stand station, which a robot, of course, could do really easily, and to monitor or look around a particular environment, send feedback. It's really the conversation of how much of this machinery, this new technology, we want to put in the hands, again, of these people that are doing a terrific job already. Can we aid them more by putting these things in the purview of the technology that they have access to?
Indeed, yeah. What about self-driving cars? What are some of the puzzles they might bring with it?
This one really fascinates me because self-driving cars, and we'll see them in the next 5 to 10 years, are cars that if we choose to, we can put into autopilot and they will take us wherever we want to go, monitor road conditions and do all kinds of things. I've got this niggling question about if we put a car into autopilot, do we need a driver's license if the car is doing the driving? If we have an accident, who is in fact responsible for that accident if we're not driving it, if the car's driving itself and it's taking its conditions from the road or from some other source. There are lots of things that we're going to have to grapple with around self-driving cars, which will come onto our road in the next decade or so, and to figure out what the laws and rights of people are when they use them.
Can't wait to see them.
Yeah.
I still find it difficult to believe they'll actually get going, but you're confident we're coming.
I am, because I've seen them work. I've actually driven, I haven't driven one, but I've driven in one in Japan about a year or so ago, and every car manufacturer on the planet, again the word every I'm using there, is now working towards it. The time zone may be wrong, so we may not see it in 5 to 10, although I think we will, but we will get there, if not 5 to 10, 10 to 15, and they're going to be, again, not fully automatic. We will always have a button that will put them back into our control.
Sure, but letting go of that wheel, yeah, will be a scary moment.
It really is. It takes some getting used to. Right.
Let's move on to wearable computers, which we've spoken about a fair bit over the past few months. So what are some of the legal concerns there?
Well, again, as you said, these are on the horizon. We'll be able to buy them quite soon. There are some really important things that we need to be mindful of. Wearable computers, of course, hold a camera on them. And if we have a camera and it's in a pair of glasses, we really have to be circumspect about who's taking pictures of whom and when. And we need laws around it, I would feel. So do our current laws allow people to take pictures of anybody? And of course, the horrible thought is of children or in untoward situations or circumstances. So I've got to be mindful of that. Not that Google Glass will ship with face recognition, because they're working very hard to say that won't be allowed. But of course, in the hands of the wrong person, we will be able to recognize faces, and that can bring up issues of privacy and all kinds of things down that road. We're also going to be able to share information backwards and forwards on these devices. Now, in the hands of a doctor or a nurse, if the information includes x-rays and health records and things, I think that's a really purposeful use for it, but obviously not in the hands of everybody. So again, as a society, collectively, we're going to have to figure out the rights and wrongs of using these things as we see them more and more in our streets.
We are indeed. But what about biometrics? Of course, lots of developments lately when it comes to fingerprint recognition and facial recognition, which you think would be all for the good, but aren't there some concerns there as well?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. They're all for the good, but we're really pushing down the road, as with everything in technology and human beings all the time that we've been on this planet, because we have something, we want to evolve it and make it better and better.
Yep.
With biometrics, what we're able to do now is to really get some insight into what's left at a crime scene or fingerprints, and we're using it for security. The new smartphones, for instance, will come out, most of them in the next year or so, with the ability to put your finger on it, which will be your new PIN code. But biometrics, it's not that we're using it for evil necessarily, but how much of it do we allow, and is it allowed in our courts? How permissible is it? DNA, for instance, took a while to come into our court systems and now is quite ordinary, but there was pushback on it. We're also, the big change that I'm seeing in this from a policing viewpoint is that it used to be centralized, meaning that police officers generally would go to a crime scene, they would take some evidence, and it would be sent back to a lab, and then that lab would interpret it and send it back. We're seeing some really great advances where the average police woman or man or the person involved in that can take instruments, technologies to the site and get instant recognition of the DNA or the blood samples. Again, they're not bad things, they're good things, but we need to have laws around them. You know, how easy is it for people to access those records? What do we want done with them? And also how willing we are to have biometrics as part of our legal system and part of the policing system.
Yep. And finally, Morris, what about 3D printing? Do you see that keeping the legal fraternity very busy?
Oh, absolutely. The 3D printing by its nature means that we're making a copy, or we're making something that doesn't exist. We're doing it in all sorts of places. It's not centralized anymore. We're doing it in my home, in your studio, and all kinds of things. Again, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I have the questions that I'm raising are around trademark issues. Who actually owns the rights, not of the physical objects, but of the copy or the recipe, as I refer to it, that you're cooking it from or making it from. We're going to have copyright and trademarks. We're also going to have the issues this raises often about using it for niceness and not evilness, because a 3D printer can be used for really good purposes and in the hands of bad people, bad purposes. We're seeing it used by police in face composites in Japan, where they're able to take those images that you and I have seen for years and years, where they sketch up the bad man or the bad woman, and now able to put that through a system where they actually get a 3D physical, if they want, image of that person that can then be used for all kinds of purposes. So it's not that these things are good or bad, but that it's that they're on the horizon. They're things that you and I will cope with in the next 1 to 10 years. And as a society, we need to make sure that we're ready for them in advance of what we know might happen with them, and also give the rights to the people to use them, that should be able to use them, and of course dissuade from people from using them in ways that we don't want them to use them.
So many questions, we await the answers. Maurice, remind us how we can keep up to date with what's happening in the future.
As always, it's businessfuturist.com.
Maurice, great catching up. We'll catch you again in a fortnight. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it.